We're back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Friday on the show, we met a Walworth County farmer who is one of a growing number of, well, growers who reaches their market more or less directly by providing food to a CSA, or Community Supported Agriculture Program.
He was one of a number of growers who participated over the weekend in the Urban Ecology Center's annual Meet Your Farmer event. But even if you missed that event, it's not too late to participate in a CSA, as Wisconsin foodie and Lake Effect contributor Kyle Cherick points out.
We go through this every year because we like to kind of mix it up. We choose a new CSA. Things are actually still coming out of the ground. The CSA that we have been using in the shoulder season, we just got a box full of greens that they were growing in their hoop house, parsnips, carrots, beets, some kohlrabi. I mean, there's actually things that are still coming out of the ground. Lots of potatoes.
Yep.
we're good there.
Root vegetables.
Yeah.
But what I love about, I mean, I grew up in the country like you. I grew up near farms. Both my parents came from farming families. And my mother always had a garden. And so I was used to having fresh vegetables in the growing season, but then put away.
Yeah.
You know, stuff put away so that you could go down in the root cellar.
Which
and
is
get
where
the roots.
Term comes from. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the idea that we have community supported agriculture, I think it started to come back in the 60s and 70s with the hippie movement, where the idea of doing back to the land stuff. But it's such a big thing now.
Well, the history of that is really fascinating because you're from New Hampshire originally. The first CSAs in America started in two farms in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. And they were this outgrowth of actually even further back in Europe with Rudolf Steiner and biodynamics and working basically eating locally, eating seasonally. So the model, which a lot of people don't realize, is it's almost like buying shares in a company through the stock market. You write a check at the beginning of the season, and CSA is divided up differently for produce that then you get weekly or biweekly specifically from that farm. And they have a drop-off spot, so they bring all their produce there, and then you come by and you pick up your box. Or there's this new super cool thing where they're actually delivering it to places of work. So you never have to leave where you work and your produce comes weekly.
I think that's fun.
Yeah. But what it is, you know, it's something that was grown in the next county. We know with local dollars that 76 cents to, I've even seen economic models that say up to 84 cents of the dollar spent stay in the community, right? And then from just a vitamin and nutrition standpoint, those things are so much. I mean, after 2 to 3 days, every green thing, every living thing that's pulled out of the ground for us to eat loses like 70% of its nutrition value. So when you eat those greens, when you eat those tomatoes, when you eat those carrots, et cetera, you're getting the full punch, right? The power punch of all these things.
Yeah, it was pulled out of the ground that morning.
Yeah. In many cases, or the night before. I mean, it's, you know, all of our enlightened chefs are cooking with these ingredients. So funny, I was just doing a conference with some James Beard semifinalists who cook regionally and seasonally. And one of them said, as a customer came into his restaurant and said, why is this steak so good? Salt, pepper, butter, good animal husbandry. That's pretty much
why it's so good.
Yeah, it's not my cooking skills.
Well, you bring up meat, and that's another part of this I want to talk about. Everyone, I think, at this point is used to the idea of vegetable CSAs. You get the crate of vegetables or the half portion or whatever it is, and it's whatever. But we can do this with meat now, too. And I love the idea of knowing that your meat was raised well, it was treated well, it was slaughtered humanely, and once it becomes steak or chicken breasts or whatever it is that we're going to eat, that was done right too.
It's a huge deal. And I, for one, am not a doctor, but I would argue that a lot of America's medical issues could be aggregated by eating meat less, a little bit less. I'm not a vegetarian.
Nor
but
am
a little
I.
bit less. It should be special and healthier. All those hormones, all of those antibiotics, et cetera, that come through the meat, these are free-raised and all that stuff. But it's the animal husbandry. There's another resource beyond the CSAs that we use called the Fresh Farm Atlas, which is this great guide. They break the state up into 5 different growing regions, and there's 5 different Fresh Farm Atlases, and there'll be a compendium of about 100 nearby farms that either have CSAs or will sell to you. And our Thanksgiving turkey, for instance, we got it from a farm out in Maquantico. The woman had raised 10 turkeys. It was her third year doing so. They had walked around her property. No coyotes had got them. They were like Rambo, you know, they were these big healthy turkeys, and they were delicious. They'd eaten grubs and worms and
all the
you know,
things that turkeys
all the
are
things
supposed
that,
to eat.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Yep. And but they knew that was home, and that was, I mean, so it's that style of eating, and it is one of the most flavorful turkeys we've ever had, and it tastes like a fowl. It tastes for real.
It has flavor.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and for people who are concerned about animal welfare, mm-hmm. knowing that the animal that you choose to eat
right.
was treated humanely.
The phrase is they had one bad day.
Right. And they didn't really know.
And they didn't really know. Yeah. But so in the CSA sort of cycle, March is when people really begin to think about either broadening their share, splitting it with a friend, switching a farm, adding a second one on. And there's always the issue of, okay, well, how do I cook with, you know, I get all this stuff. When I go to the grocery store, I can buy the two things that I need. Now I have this abundance of a box. I don't know a single CSA now that doesn't either include a newsletter or have an email that, first of all, describes, because sometimes, I mean, look, I'm a Wisconsin foodie. I open the box and I don't know what this vegetable is. It happens, right? And that's part of the fun. And we have explored more regional vegetables with our kids that we did not know what they were. But there is always, with the description, then five or six recipes. This goes great with celeriac root. You can take the zucchini and extrude it out, you know, just do kind of a peeler and use it in the place of pasta, et cetera, on and on. It's great. And then it's like the fun cooking challenge. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, just juice it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, or feed it to your, if you have pets at home that yeah. eat vegetables. Yeah.
Just can it up. Just figure it out. But we've really never been stumped. The recipes are so helpful. We thought we would have so much extra the first year we did CSA shares. So we did a half share every other week. And now we've bumped it up to a full share because it's terrific stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk to farmers mm-hmm. on the other side of this, the growing side of this, is this becoming a bigger part of their business?
Oh, no question. Yeah. So it started in the mid-80s and it was just two farms in America. And now it's stretched out to about 1,700. And it's the other side to the big ag kind of scenario. But for them to know that my 4 acres of beets are paid for, will be sold, and for us to know we get beets at the prime of the height of their nutritional and flavor value when they're better than they are in some restaurants, that's exciting. And then the greens and, you know, and there's a conversation a lot of times between the CSA growers, the farmers, which is why like that event at Urban Ecology Center is so great, because they, if they hear, we want more spinaches, we want more root vegetables, we want more heirloom tomatoes, we want more, then they know you're literally giving them the seed money. You're buying shares like a stock share. And then the dividends is the terrific produce every week or every 2 weeks that you get to cook with.
So it's not too late to sign up.
It's not too late. This is the time when you want to choose your CSA. You know, the farmers, most of them will take your email, if not your phone call. And it's like, what are you going to grow? What's your season? What are you heavy on? And pick a share. Every person I've known that has ever done it has said it was so much better than we thought. And that's what food does. Mm-hmm. It's this relationship between producer and consumer that so much of the time we've lost in our culture, and this is an opportunity to bring it together and keep dollars locally, a whole bunch of that dollar at least.
And know where your food is coming from.
And know where your food is coming
which
from.
Which is kind of key. If you're not growing it in your backyard, it's kind of nice to know that it's coming from somebody's backyard.
And, well, that's a great point. We have a garden in the front of our house, because that's where the sun is best. It's a victory garden. And we also have a CSA, and it's just two children and myself and my fiance, and we still grocery shop. We eat all that food. We're not gluttonous, but we eat all that food. The big reason people say they don't want to do a CSA is because they say, gosh, I'm going to get this big box of food and what will I do with it? Trust me, if you occupy your own kitchen, you will find something to do with it.
So I have to ask, what was the most interesting thing you ever got in a CSA?
So far, what I called weird Japanese onions. They turned out to be something else, but it was one of those, who's eaten this? Who's growing it? And that was one that I put one in the car and I popped in on a couple of chefs that day while I was running errands, and I stumped them too.
So what was it?
It was an onion. It was basically a hybrid version of a Vidalia. It looked ugly as heck, and ended up just slicing it like a red onion, putting it into salads and things like that.
It was terrific.
Yeah. And then we actually used it later on in a root vegetable soup that we made during, you know, the fall months and froze. And I don't, maybe a week and a half ago. I mean, we pulled that mason jar out of the freezer and I said, "What is this? I don't know. Let's defrost it." And it's what we had for dinner. And the kids loved it and asked if we could have it again the next night. And no, we can't.
Because you'd already eaten what you had frozen.
Right. Yep. But that was the bounty from last October, from a county away and this Wisconsin soil.
Well, now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And so I have to go make my CSA order for this year. And I look into the meat one, too. Kyle Cherik, as always, it is great to see you. Thanks so much.
Delighted.
Kyle Cherik is host of Public Television's Wisconsin Foodie and a regular Lake Effect contributor.